Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in my home state of Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you could be with us, as well as tuning in on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106 Live. We're glad to have all of you with us as well. Maddie Dawson is joining us today on what is for her a happy pub day of her new book, The Survivor's Guide to Family Happiness. And this is a great novel that definitely deserves to be on your reading list as we're heading through the end of this year. We're going to talk to Maddie not only about the new book, but also the whole issue of belonging and being able to feel comfortable with ourselves, how she was able to create these characters that really grapple with that, but also what it actually means to be family as well. We'll talk about that too. And if you're just hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get the book and stay connected with Maddie as well. Maddie, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. Thank you. I'm so delighted to be here with you.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all mine. It's always great to be able to speak with the author on the day that their new book is releasing. Now, I should say, even though this is your new book, Maddie, this is definitely not your first book. What has it been like for you, though, to be able to see the way that your readers keep coming back time and again for your work?
You know, that's just one of the best things, because when you're off writing a book, you're so alone. And somebody said it's like telling a joke and 3 years later you hear whether the punchline landed, you know. It just everything takes so long. And I'm sort of an extrovert. And so sitting and writing alone in a room is not my native way of being. And I find myself really loving the idea of connecting with readers, which social media makes so much easier these days. So you really feel like you're supported along the way, and as well by other authors. Authors tend to be so generous with each other, and that's been just a pleasure getting to know so many of them.
Yeah, and I would imagine, too, the other thing that I love about your work, Maddie, is that you show us that you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to look a certain way, you don't have to come from a certain place in order to find out where you belong. I mean, one of the characters, Lindy, one of the things that you write, and I love, you know, some of the ways that you phrase things, because one of the things that Lindy works so hard about is belonging, and she and her husband wanted to belong, wanted to feel as though they belonged. And I think that's really what all of us want. Do you think that also is a big part of your success, that your readers can see themselves in these complicated and perfect characters?
Thank you so much for saying that. I love the character of Lindy. And when she was coming, you know, you feel like they come and tell you their story. They trust you with their story. And I related so much to the pain she had of feeling like an outsider in the social life where they lived. And she and her husband don't make as much money as everybody else. And she always is thinking they're looking down on her. And just that struggle, you know, we've all felt that, whether it was in seventh grade in the lunchroom or today in our own lives. You know, it's so easy to go on Facebook, for instance, and look at everybody's happy life and think, my life isn't like that. Somebody said we compare our insides to other people's outsides. And I think that's such a good way of seeing that, you know, we feel so imperfect.
For sure. Do you find as though family is one of those safe spaces? Places to write about, Maddie, because I was thinking all of us have a story about our family, about ourselves, about someone in our family. Have you found that that is kind of the connection, too, that your readers feel, is that they all know what that's like to either feel a certain way about a family member or a situation in the family, or to have that feeling kind of directed toward them?
I know. You know, with family, families are such a strange thing. I grew up in the South. You can't hear it in my voice, I'm sure. But I come from this long line of outrageous storytellers. And, you know, God help you if you get in the way of the punchline, right? That was the most important thing. And they were lovely, hilarious people, but there was a lot of dysfunction and craziness in my family, which is probably why I'm a writer. And then when I was 12 years old, my parents divorced and my mother remarried and moved us across country to L.A., where I pretty much grew up. And I feel that sense of uprootedness even today. You know, I lost, in a way, all of that Southern stuff that made me who I was in my early years. You know, I've it's just been such an interesting kind of thing. And I didn't realize until I was writing this book about these two sisters who approach family in such different ways, how that sense of loss and uprootedness is still with me today. I thought I was pretty much writing a little story about, you know, finding your birth family and what that means to you. And in fact, it lodged in me so much more deeply than I had expected that it would.
For sure.
And I'm not and adopted, there are other but... Yeah. Yo, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead, Maddie. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I'm not adopted, so I didn't have that exact experience that they had. But I interviewed a lot of people who are adopted, and they all spoke of, even if you're so happy with the family that adopted you and you love them to death, there's still this loss at the root of it, which was startling to me. I hadn't really thought it through, how you never really get over the idea that there was loss. You were given up, and maybe it was for the most unselfish, perfect reason ever, and yet there it still is, affecting you.
Yeah, I think that is it. And I think, again, that is part of the connection that readers feel about a book like this, as well as your other work, Maddie. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Maddie Dawson. We're talking with her not only about her own journey as a storyteller, but also what it's been like for her to share that work with all of you. She's doing it with her new book as well, The Survivor's Guide to Family Happiness. And family is definitely a big part of this book, but there's another part that I thought was so interesting, Maddie, when I was reading it, and that is, you know, that there is a certain thing. I know families do this too. They feel like family business should stay with the family. But you have other characters as well that kind of feel as though some things are out of their place to be able to talk about, and some things are better left, you know, unsaid. You know, I think that is another thing that all of us kind of feel, especially when it comes to people that we love and respect, their secrets and their privacy. What was it like for you to explore that? Was there such a thing as too much truth?
That's such a great question. It's so true that families all have their secrets, don't they? And things that they don't want to face head on, or that are too painful. And I think adoption can often fall into that category. And in this case, these two sisters searching for their birth mother know that what they're going to come across might hurt them or might be just the most wonderful story in the world. And one of them thinks, I'm going to find at last a big loving family. You know, she has this fantasy that that's the only way to be happy, is with a big loving family. And the other one is more like, you know, I'm in a family. I've been adopted into a family. I see that family can be just as difficult as wonderful, and I don't think I need to take on any more. I live in Connecticut, which has a huge Italian community, and those families tend to be so close-knit, and I just look at them with this yearning and think, how great is this to have all these cousins and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, you know, all over the place. And I know that they have their own struggles, but, you know, we on the outside look in and go, oh, wow, that's so beautiful.
I think that is such an amazing thing. And it leads me to another character who is kind of, I guess, on the secondary layer, but has some powerful things to say in the book, Maddie, to the sisters, to Lindy that I mentioned earlier, and also to Nina that you alluded to as well, and that is AJ Barnes. I thought it was so interesting in their conversation with him. You know, there was one line that he said that I definitely wanted to share, because I thought it said so much about how people feel. If it was a secret, I felt bad that we're telling it. And then, you know, I think there's that whole thing about, you know, secrets being important. This is what you wrote that he said. For those who have the print edition of the book, it's on page 253. AJ says to them, "Secrets are always important. There's no expiration date on a secret." You know, and I thought about that, because you think for friends, and I know I've been like this with my friends, things that have been told to me in confidence or things that I know were not meant to be shared, I have kept those things close because that's what you do. I mean, that's why they're confiding in you in the first place, you know, to have someone to talk to. What was it like for you to kind of think about that, what AJ had to say to the young women and to Indigo there about the importance of secrets and the power they have?
I know. I love that. I love AJ also. He was sort of an unexpected pleasure to discover in this book for me. I think his guarding of the secret and he was so closely involved with the whole beginning when the secret first came about, and now to be confronted with these beautiful young women who only want to know their past, and he can't see the reason why they shouldn't, but it isn't his secret to tell. So he feels kind of trapped in wanting to help them and yet not to go too far. Secrets are very hard on everybody, aren't they? I love what you said about, you know, when friends tell you secrets, how you keep them for them. But it's hard to do, isn't it? It kind of rolls around in your brain, too. You're going, oh, my goodness, this is really a thing.
Right, right. I think that is so true, and I think it goes to something larger, and I'll talk around this part, Maddie, so I won't spoil it for those who haven't read the book. But that brings us then to Phoebe, and you know, the whole thing of Phoebe's evolution to who she is, but also the realization, and I did talk a little bit about this in my review on Amazon.com, that you know, the power of words and how words can be. And I think, you know, there is a certain thing about, you know, people feel as though something should be gotten over. Other times people feel as though those are things that are going to continue to linger around. The words that you use in a conversation with Phoebe, there's that differentiation between something being the best or something being for the best. Talk to us about that and what it was like for you to have Phoebe grapple with that and what that meant for her and her situation looking backwards.
You mean when she's trying to decide if it's for the best that she not contact the daughters?
Right.
Is that what you mean? Yes.
Exactly, right.
I think, you know, she went through this tragedy as a young teenager. She had all the hope and optimism in the world, foolishly, really, when you look at a 15-year-old thinking, what a great idea. You know, I'll trap my boyfriend by having a baby, and then his mother will have to, you know, adopt me and I'll be in their lives. And then when that doesn't work, she decides, well, you know what, a second baby is a great idea. And when that whole plan fails, as it was bound to, she feels so distraught and so stupid, really, and has been so wrong in her life and feels cast off and really adrift. And I think the decision she made was really a brave one for her, that she wasn't going to inflict this story on those two daughters whom she loved so much, that she made up her mind that she was going to live a life and never, ever, ever contact them and never tell them what happened, because she thought everybody deserves a story that's a happy story. And you know, we all kind of want to know our birth story. We all have that longing to know, Where did I come from, and who were my people, and why was I born? What were they hoping for when they had me? And
right.
Phoebe doesn't want to inflict the tragedy that was her life on these children, and then I don't want to give it away either. I'll just
sure.
keep talking about it and tell the whole story.
Yeah,
but. It was a tough thing to write because I didn't know how Phoebe was going to handle it. I wasn't really sure if she was even going to show up ever. You know, it was very, I could feel her as a character being very reticent and wanting and very protective of herself and of the life she had made.
Right, right. And then there's Mary. And that conversation between the two of them, when you have, you know, of course, one of the daughters, Nina, calling, and Mary being very blatant in calling Phoebe a coward and being afraid.
Yeah.
And this is what I think is really interesting, and I will talk a little bit about this part, not to give away that scene, but
okay.
talk
no,
about the bigger thing for me about that, and that is, I could relate so much to that because I've been told I do the same thing. that we block ourselves off so much, that we don't let people get close to us, we don't let people get in. And that was really what Mary was saying. I think somebody, and the reason I think our audience will appreciate this, Maddie, is because I think all of us know what it's like to experience a trauma or to go through something and feel as though, okay, I'm not going through that again. So whatever I have to do to keep from going through that, that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the name changing and all of the location changing and, you know, all of the moving can't take that away. I mean, was that one of the things that you hope people take away, that, I mean, no matter what you choose to do, the truth will always be there, no matter who you try to become or no matter where you go?
I think that's so true. I think so many of us who've maybe experienced dysfunctional families have this idea that we can just walk away and that we can just go and start lives elsewhere. I live far away from my family members. You know, I have my own family of kids, and I'm totally happy in that family. But I have turned my back on a past that still comes back to me. I don't think that you can really walk away from the past the way Phoebe did. And sure enough, the past just keeps showing up, doesn't it? And knocking on her door. And even her sister says, yeah, let this in. This is cowardly of you not to. And how are you going to go your whole life without doing this? You know, when I was, before I started to write this book, one of the things that really was the spark for it is I interviewed a woman who had been adopted as a baby, and she found out the identity of her birth mother, which is hard in Connecticut. Those records are sealed, and Google makes it a little bit more possible, but not always. Sometimes you don't even know the person's name, so you can Google it.
Right.
So anyway, she was looking for her birth mother, and she found out who it was, and she lived close by, actually. So she wrote her birth mother a letter in which she was so scared, but she said, please, 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 I would just love to talk with you. If we could only talk, I promise you, if you don't contact me, I'll never bother you again. You know, just if you would please do this. And to her surprise, the mother did call her. They had a wonderful, long conversation on the phone. They both cried. They agreed to meet. And this woman went to meet her mother, and her mother never showed up.
Mm.
And she is in her 60s. The mother is in her 90s. She still knows where she lives. She still sees her out sweeping the stoop, you know, but won't approach her because she made that promise. It just broke my heart to think that here was a chance for a relationship that could have been wonderful, but because of the shame from way back when, that secret couldn't be broached. It was just
right.
Heartbreaking for me.
And I think that is the thing, and that right there, stories like that, I think, Maddie, is why books like this are so safe for people. I say to my audience a lot that fiction gives us the courage sometimes to face the truth, you know, about real life. And I think that is one of the things that I have definitely found. And I think stories like that, I mean, even though it may be difficult to hear, reading about it in a book like this, you know, in situations like that, in a book like this, definitely makes it a topic that's easier to discuss for sure. So other than being, you know, entertaining, and it is, and being very thoughtful as it is, what was your hope with the Survivor's Guide to Family Happiness? Because, you know, I would say that some people would say, you know, there really is no guide. You know, there's no book that we could get, you know, to actually find this. So what was your hope that will be our takeaway for this book?
You know, that's so funny because when they designed the cover, they sent it to me for my approval, and it was this beautiful cover, which was the one that we used, but they had forgotten to write a novel on it. And I said, no, this isn't a self-help book. You know, this doesn't have anything. Nobody's going to learn the secret to family happiness. But I think what I ended up coming away with, and in the book, although I'm hoping people aren't going to just get the idea from what I'm saying, that it's kind of a dark, unhappy book full of unhappy stories, because I feel like these characters are also light and funny, and they have wonderful lives too that are going on concurrently while they're dealing with these issues. But what I hope got through in the book is that really family is who we feel connected to, and that we create our families. And yes, some of them are going to be related to us biologically, but if we don't have that, we can also make these new families through our friends. And the irony I saw in this book is that while Nina is yearning for this perfect birth family to show up and rescue her, she almost doesn't notice that she's forming a family on the side with this divorced man and his two teenage children, who are so much more connected to her and depending on her than anyone else ever has in her life. But she doesn't see that at first. You know, she just doesn't know. So that was kind of what I hope people would see, is that family is all over, and it is so important to us, but it doesn't have to be the people who we share DNA with.
For sure. And I think that is the thing. I have people in my life who I'm very close to that we feel like an extended family. And I think that's the thing that even comes around in this book. And I also think, too, Maddie, for myself, when I finished the book, was there is no perfect picture to look at what a family is anyway. The dysfunction, the unease, the angst that we feel is mm-hmm. our own family. That is our thing. So I think, unlike what Lindy tried to do and tried to be a certain type of way because that's what was expected or she thought was expected, I think just realizing the greatest gift we can give is just to be our own quirky selves and to let that be enough, because I think that's what makes us all better.
I think so too, Cyrus. And isn't that the hardest thing to do? I mean, you were alluding to that a little bit too, how you want to just hide away all of the things that you've been through, and you don't want people to see that. We want to not show those broken parts out there. And yet, and if we can be ourselves, what a gift that is. And it's so, so tough. We just don't want to be imperfect.
Right. Exactly.
And I think hate that about life.
Yeah, you know, but I think, too, this book does show this, Maddie, that sometimes we can learn the best lessons when we allow that to show, the imperfections to show in our soft spots. Because just like that conversation with Mary and Phoebe, it allows us to be open enough to receive what is the truth about us, I think. And so I think, you know, anytime something great like that can happen, you definitely can't dismiss it, for sure. Again, everyone, Maddie Dawson has been our guest for this segment. Great conversation with you, Maddie, as I knew it was going to be. The book is The Survivor's Guide to Family Happiness. It's available now through all your favorite online sites that you like to go to. Of course, our friends, is Amazon.com. We invite you to go there or go to your favorite bookstore in your area. If they don't have the book, they would be more than happy to be able to order it for you, for sure. Maddie, I know that you've been busy as well. So how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up with all the things going on with you?
Well, I have a website at MaddieDawson.com, and when people go to the website, there's a place to sign up for a little newsletter. I call it Things I Distract Myself With When I'm Supposed to Be Writing. And it's I promise not to send things out all the time and clog up people's inboxes, but just little tidbits and things, movie reviews and books that I've loved and things I'm thinking about, and I would love it if people would sign up for that. And I'm also on Facebook. I have an author page on Facebook and Twitter, which is at Maddie Dawson 1, the numeral 1. And I love to hear from people. I love to connect with readers.
All right. So make sure you all are definitely staying connected with Maddie. And Maddie, it goes without saying, you are welcome back here anytime. Looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Thank you. I would love that, Cyrus. This has been so much fun. And thank you for your thoughtful questions about the book. It's just, I always learn something about the books from other people who've read them. You know, we write these books and we often don't know what they say. Such a weird thing.
Well, look, I really enjoyed the conversation as well, Maddie, and definitely looking forward to staying connected with you. And I do invite you all to stay connected with Maddie as well. As she said, she is all over social media. We've already tagged her on Facebook and Twitter, so make sure you guys are staying connected with her there. If you all came in late and you missed part of this conversation with Maddie, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site, so head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, then share it with your friends from there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.